Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? It's Murph here. It is a weird day to be recording. It is a Sunday. Don't normally do weekend records, but an opportunity came up to do it, and there's been a lot of news in the last 36 hours. I felt it was important to get on and just finish off the week strong with the rest of the free agency transactions, because the news kind of dips off over the weekend and we've definitely seen a huge dip in the amount of transactions. But having said that, there's been some really significant ones and a lot of key players have come off the board. So I thought I would just jump on here, really short pod, get you all up to speed so that when you're ready for Monday, it's literally now a case of let's go. Let's get ready for a new week. And we'll put sort of free agency to one side. Still a couple of big players. We will try and mention them where we can. But ultimately, it's now all about putting free agency almost in the rearview mirror. So the Giants and Kenny Golladay have finally agreed a deal. Always sort of thought this one was going to happen, and it has. They've agreed a 4-year, $72 million deal with a max of $76 and $40 million guaranteed. That's $18 million a year. Golladay did spend the night in New York. He went to visit the facility on Friday. He never left New York. They were both keen. Both parties were keen to get this one done, and it is now done. Kenny Golladay is a Giant. I think a lot of people expected that. Keen to get your thoughts, Giants fans, and see what you think on this, but he is the only one that seems to have beaten the tagged receivers, Allen Robinson and also Chris Godwin, in terms of money per year. It's also said by Rap Sheet that Golladay to Chicago was a real thing. It wasn't just to try and get Allen Robinson signed the tag. They really went all in, but Golladay ultimately chose the Giants for the package and also the opportunity to play in New York. So that one is done. Another big receiver off the board, Juju Smith-Schuster. We talked about this. He is returning to Pittsburgh on a 1-year deal worth only $8 million. Now, the reason it's only $8 million is he actually got bigger offers. Per Taylor Piscotty, the Chiefs offered him $8 million with 3 years in incentives, or $3 million incentives. The Ravens offered $9 million with $4 million incentives, but he decided himself to return to Pittsburgh on a 1-year, $8 million deal. And they've worked it with the cap, so the cap hit isn't that strong. There's voidable years in there. So they've made it effective. And apparently the deal sort of stalled at $7.5 million, and then the extra $500,000 was what got it done. This one, not surprising at all to me. I started to get a little bit twitchy, but it has happened. The Seahawks have re-signed Chris Carson to a 2-year deal worth up to $14.625 million. So it means that the Seahawks have gone back to Chris Carson, and given what they had on the roster, not the biggest surprise. And glad that that one is done, which is good news for fantasy football fans. We know what we're getting now with Chris Carson. Let's talk about the Broncos. The Broncos have had a really productive 36 hours. First of all, they finally got a deal in place for Justin Simmons. And don't forget, he's been tagged twice. But he does have a deal now. 4 years, $61 million deal, $35 million in guaranteed money. This is a big move. One of the best safeties in the NFL. The Broncos would be really happy that they've tied him down, because if they didn't get this done by July, I couldn't see Simmons coming back. So this one is done. And they got even better in the back end, because the Broncos agreed to terms with Pro Bowler Kyle Fuller on a 1-year, $9.5 million deal. It's $9 million fully guaranteed. So again, Kyle Fuller knows Vic Fangio. He talked about this earlier in the week. Not overly surprised he's gone to the Broncos, but that's a really good bit of business. And they are so much better in that secondary, and they've got a bit of stability there. And if Fuller does well, I wouldn't be surprised if he re-signed for longer. The Texans have continued their spending spree, and they have signed Broncos running back Philip Lindsay on a 1-year, $3.25 million deal with $500,000 in incentives. So they have a very crowded backfield now, because You have David Johnson who restructured his contract. You have Mark Ingram, and now you have Philip Lindsay. That one's going to be a head scratcher for fantasy folks, but I think the other two definitely take a dip down with this news, and Lindsay doesn't give you a ton of upside here. But having said that, as the healthier of the three, he probably has a chance to have a go at this job long term. Be interesting to see, because I can't see David Johnson being there past the year. The Texans are signing as well on top of that Jets pass rusher Jordan Jenkins to a 2-year deal worth $6 million with a chance to make it $8 million. Now, Nick Caseri has been very, very busy. So by my count, he has acquired 30 new players via free agency or trade, but only one of those free agents has signed for more than 2 years. So he's clearly brought a lot of guys in to try out and see what they've got. But that's a huge amount of work in the first 7 days to bring 30 new players into your roster. So they're going to have a lot of guys competing for a lot of jobs, and be interesting to see how that one shakes out. But they're a real head-scratcher team at the moment, the Texans, as to how that plays. The Saints will forfeit their sixth-round selection in the 2022 draft. Now, it looked like they were going to lose a pick in this draft. They've won an appeal, which means that it's actually going to be deferred to the 2022 draft. They've been fined $700,000 for violations in regards to the COVID protocols during the 2020 season. So they do get their pick back this year, and they lose one next year. So the Colts have bought back Xavier Rhodes on a 1-year, $6.5 million deal. They've been really keen to try and re-sign their own guys, and they seem to be doing very similar thing to the Buccaneers. Get your own guys under control first, get them under contract and see what you bring in. So a really big move for them to bring up Xavier Rhodes, who was great last year. Bengals have got more offensive line help. They've signed former first round pick Riley Reiff. He is, you know, going to be 32, or he is 32 and he will remain 32, but he has been very productive in the NFL. So definitely some help for Joe Burrow there in terms of offensive line. Other big news to come out of the weekend so far, the Eagles have signed former Vikings safety Anthony Harris. We've talked about him. Didn't see the Eagles as a player in this, but they have got a deal done, 1 year, $5 million. And the Cowboys have agreed to terms of former Falcons safety Keanu Neal on a 1 year, $5 million deal. That reunites Neal with his former head coach, Dan Quinn, who is the DC there in Dallas. That's most of the big news. In fact, that's all the big news, really, that I can find. I am going to read through the rest of the transactions that I have seen over the weekend. I'm sure there might have been one or two more smaller pieces that I've missed, but I've tried to dig as much as possible and find the best bits of news that I could. So let's start with just rounding this one up. Defensive end Isaac Rochelle has signed with the Colts. 1 year, $2.5 million deal. It can go up to $3 million. The Browns are bringing back kicker Cody Parkey on a 1 year deal. Former Eagles punter Cam Johnston is signing a 3 year deal with the Texans. The Bengals, who were going to cut Ryan Finley, and I think I might have talked about this already, but if not, they were going to cut Ryan Finley, but they have traded him to the Texans. The Bengals have also released Bobby Hart, offensive tackle, and they've also released their longtime star defensive tackle, Geno Atkins. So they have moved on from a lot of the old franchise sorts of players. The Texans continue just to keep piling on names. They've signed former Chargers O-lineman Cole Toner, and he's agreed to a 1 year deal with the Texans. The Patriots are expected to sign former Dolphins and Raiders linebacker Raekwon McMillan to a 1 year deal. Linebacker Brandon Copeland is signing with the Falcons on a 1 year deal. Anthony Walker, very productive last year, former Colts linebacker. He's signing a 1 year, $3.5 million deal with the Browns. I think what the Browns have done in free agency with the defensive side is absolutely remarkable, to get the players they have done, you know, Johnston, Hill, and now Anthony Walker. I thought they brought some really good guys in. I don't think they've overpaid in this market at all. The Bills are signing former Seahawks tight end Jacob Hollister to a 1 year deal. And that's because their tight end, Tyler Croft, has agreed a 1 year deal to sign with the Jets. So Bill's bringing in Jacob Hollister to compete for the starting job. He could be a somewhat interesting late end tight end throw, but we know they don't overly use the tight end position for catches and releases too much. He's kind of be a touchdown or bust. Tyler Croft to the Jets, though, is interesting because I don't feel he was overly utilized as well as he could have been. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in that Jets offense. Former defensive lineman for the Eagles, Malik Jackson, is also signing with the Browns. Again, they just continue to get better and better in that defense. Tight end Dan Arnold, he has agreed to terms with the Panthers. Now, he obviously was part of the Saints, and Joe Brady was there, who is now the offensive coordinator in Carolina, so a player that he knows. The term is 2 years and $6 million, so he should be slotting into the starting role there. Again, another tight end for fantasy worth looking at. Former Lions cornerback Desmond Trufant, he's signing a one-year deal with the Bears as a replacement for Kyle Fuller. This was an interesting one. So we reported this, that Isaiah Wilson was traded to the Miami Dolphins for a late-round pick swap, a 2021 seventh, and then the Dolphins are getting a 2022 seventh. The Dolphins have actually cut Isaiah Wilson, former first-round pick, just a year ago. And we talked about this earlier on in the week, but now he is done. And that means for him that he is... I mean, it's going to be hard for him to get a job in the NFL because you couldn't trade much less than what the Dolphins have done. Apparently, he didn't really want any help from the Dolphins organization. Yeah, he turned up late for meetings post-trade, and the Dolphins just didn't want that as part of their culture, so they have cut him. Veteran offensive lineman Odey Abushi has gone to the Chargers, a one-year, $2 million deal. Former Lions linebacker and special teams ace Miles Killebrew is heading to the Steelers on a one-year deal. Steelers are signing guard tackle slash offensive lineman Joe Haig, who was with the Buccaneers last season and won a ring. He's sort of a backup guy, but very good utility player, good one to have there for the Steelers just in case they go down with any injuries. And the Jags have re-signed punter Logan Cook. It's a multi-year deal and it averages out roughly $3 million a year. So good money for the punter there. And Logan Cook gets to keep his job for the next few years. Now, as we've been tracking all week, we've had big players coming off the board. So I'm just going to go with the players that are left with in the top 100 free agents NFL.com rankings that were in the top 30. They were all we were sort of overly interested with, and then a couple of selected others and just get a feel for where they are. It's worth noting that of those 101 remaining free agents, almost two thirds of that list have gone off the board. So there is only about 35 to 37 players left on that list, and that's included a few additions. So lots of players gone off that list. The three remaining in the top 30, and contentious whether these players should have been in the top 30 to begin with, but they are, so we'll leave it there. Jadeveon Clowney, who we've discussed at length. Mitchell Schwartz is still out there, so clearly there's some concern with that injury. Justin Houston, who I think he'd probably go back to the Colts. Maybe they're just waiting to see how the rest of the market goes. The other ones that have been tracking, Eric Fisher, again, who was with the Chiefs, again, coming off injury. Daquan Jones, the nose tackle, bit surprised he's still on the board. He wasn't the best nose tackle here, but he was the best one remaining going into the official league year opening. And Ndamukong Suh, I'm not surprised. The Buccaneers are pretty much at cap, so they need to make some changes and free up some more cap if they're to bring him back. But the fact he's not signed for anyone else means it is encouraging for Bucs fans that he will re-sign with the team. I just looking at the pieces, because they're going to struggle to officially re-sign Sue without getting some cap space sorted. So that's what they'll need to do. So there are still three teams that have yet to sign a free agent from another team. They are the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, the Packers, and the Rams. Rams, no surprise with the cap or lack of it that they've got. Packers, I think it's interesting. I thought they would have gone in for maybe one of the wide receivers. Maybe they look at a T.Y. Hilton type and see the fact that the market's massively crashed on him, that they can get him cheap. Just sort of spitballing some ideas because he is still out there, T.Y. Hilton. That's going to do it for this. Just wanted to get a really quick update in, just get you all up to speed. If something significant drops between now and sort of 8, 9 o'clock tonight, we might get someone to jump on and just do a very quick roundup for free agency. But given the fact we're only really tracking a handful of guys, probably not, unless, you know, these guys all sort of swarm off the board today, but I expect it to be quite quiet. So don't be surprised if we don't come back with a pod. It just means there's not been that much significant news. But tomorrow we're going to do a really good pod. We're going to continue our deep dive into the 2020 season by positions and look at some consistency and go through there. But until tomorrow, Rush Nation, where Stocks and I will be back, don't forget, keep rushing.